Your Humanities Half Hour is brought to you by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council, Navigating the Human Experience Together.
Hafaday, Tiro, and welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry, and our guest today has a Master of Fine Arts degree, and he is a Chamorro. What do those two have in common? Well, you're going to find out. It's my pleasure to have Balthazar Agun on our show today. Balthazar, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Saipan, and welcome to our show. Thanks for making time to share your story today.
Yes, Saipan's beautiful. I just love it. I feel so connected here from the moment I stepped off the plane up to now.
I like that word connected, because we were chatting before the show, and I was asking you how you first came to know that you were so passionate about your culture. What is the importance you feel, or when did you first feel that maybe you were a little bit stronger than the average person in being curious about your culture and interested?
Well, you know, growing up, my mom was always a proponent of culture, you know, language and culture and education. So it was always, and we lived it, you know, my parents always, they spoke to Chamorro with each other and to the younger or to the older siblings. But in school, we learned the American, you know, the American way, the American history, American, and I wanted to know about the Chamorros. I just always had this deep curiosity about, you know, what was it like in ancient times? What did they look like? How did they live? And I would say, you know, ever since I was like 7 years old, I've always had that curiosity. Then when I went away to the States for high school, there was this absence of identity.
Wow.
You know, this. What is a Chamorro? How do I explain what a Chamorro is to, you know, 3,000 high school students?
Wait, how did you explain it when they would ask you where you were from? Or
because I didn't know exactly how.
Yeah.
I would just say Guam is a U.S. territory in the Pacific between Japan and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And that was as far as I went. You know, and there was a lot of room for interpretation with them. So they'd ask me things like, "Oh, do the women still go topless and, you know, wear skirts?"
Or
do you still throw spears? And many times I say, "Yeah."
Why? Why did you say yeah?
Because if that's their idea of them, that's not going to make me lessen my pride in who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe if I didn't have a really detailed grasp on what a Chamorro is, in my heart I knew that it was something good and something beautiful.
Mm. From the heart.
Yes. And I think in many instances, after high school and then in college in Oregon, it made me speak out. You know, I had this desire to share and to just be a part of this bigger community and share a Pacific Islander voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that had a lot to do with me like coming out of my shell and sharing who I was in this, you know, this wider community.
Well, it's beautiful that you were able to take your passion and work it into your life and your work, which we're gonna get into a little bit later. But the good news is, this isn't just something you feel in your heart. This is something, being a Chamorro, that you actually have found evidence of, that you are a Chamorro. Can you tell us the story?
Yes. Last year, I took a complete Y-DNA test. Around June, I got an email from the Director of Research and Development telling me that I was a very close match to 55 ancient Chamorro remains, in Natson Beach in Guam, and in Anaguan Garapan, Saipan. And that feeling of opening that email and reading that, it was like, yes, you know, I was just so, I was so elated. I didn't know how I should be, how I should feel. It was just this, this profound moment of connection again. There's the word, that connection that I knew, you know, that, you know, I'm part of something special. I knew that the culture is inside me. And now I have evidence that
it's in your blood.
It's in my blood, exactly. And there's evidence, scientific proof that is irrefutable. It's the first time. So,
first time, you know, somebody has matched to these
55
remains.
Ancient Chamorro remains. Yes.
Sorry. Go ahead.
There was one tester also who matched three remains from Garapan, and this person was from Tahiti. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really interesting. I mean, what's the connection there?
What's the story?
Yes, this person from Tahiti and myself, we share a common ancestor.
Now, is that at the Anagwan site or the Nato Beach site? Do you know?
Anagwan. Garapan.
So for us lay people, could you explain to us what you mean by Y chromosome test?
Sure. The Y chromosome test is... strictly for males, because only the males carry the Y chromosome from the father. So, you know, throughout millennia, this same Y chromosome is passed down through the male line. So males, it's XY.
Yes,
with women,
chromosome.
It's XX.
Yes.
So the woman won't carry it, but the male will.
So that would mean, if I'm correct then, that one of your great-great-great-grandfathers is among the remains, the human remains that were part of this test. Is that
yes,
correct?
More, yeah, way back.
Way back.
Way back. So the
many
common
more
ancestor.
Greats. Yeah, okay.
As far back, the common ancestor that we that they identified myself and with this guy from Tahiti is 1500 BC.
Okay.
So the 55 remains at this point in time, there's a varied time period. So it's 1000 AD to 1800 AD, or excuse me, 1700 AD, and then there's another 1500 to 1545. So it's kind of varied. Mm-hmm. But if we have more testers, we may be able to get a clearer picture and find further back within the BCs.
So that's a good point. Could you share with us the company that has these remains? And I understand that they actually have the DNA of remains from around the world. Share a little bit about them, what you know, for other people, especially maybe Chamorro males, who would be interested to submit their DNA for a fee to have it tested against these remains. Can you tell us a little bit more about this company?
Yes. They don't actually have the
remains. They have the DNA results.
Right. They don't have the DNA. It's in this big database.
Oh, okay.
So like all of the remains around the world, the ancient remains, which everyone's are studied and tested.
Okay.
All this research. A lot of researchers and scientists have access to it, but the company that did this particular study is Family Tree DNA, and they're based out of Texas. So if anyone has that curiosity and that passion and that desire to test their Y DNA to see how far back you can go and to see if your ancestors are here or in Guam or in any other, you know, CNMI island, they would be able to do it through Family Tree DNA. It's the complete Y DNA test.
I understand you brought a couple of tests with you and you've decided to test some other family members. How is that going?
We're going to meet him after here.
Okay.
So I'm really excited. You know, he's one of my favorite nephews. He really lives the culture. He really connects to being, you know, from CNMI and from Guam. And his last name is Chamorro. His dad's middle name is also Chamorro. So it's exciting.
It's exciting, and we'll find out what is involved with the DNA test. How is it going to work?
Oh, it's a very easy test. It's pretty much a swab that you swab in the inside of your cheek for about a minute on each side, And then you just put it in the preserver and I mail it off to Texas.
Can you tell us anything you might know about the Alagoan site and Nato Beach as far as either the remains that were recovered or what life there was like when there were people living in those areas? What do you know?
With the Alagoan site, I don't know very much about it, but I know that there was about 700 remains that were unearthed during the construction of the casino. And I'm pretty sure it was in ancient times. It was an ancient Chamorro village, so there was a hierarchy of responsibilities. The women had their duties, the men had their duties, like an ancient Chamorro village. But I can tell you what I experienced there when I went there yesterday. We drove in to look for the site, and the minute we spotted it's concrete with the plaque on top.
The reinterment site?
The reinterment site of the ancient
bones. Yeah.
Yes, yes. We got out, and the moment I got out and I stepped on the sand, I just felt this, I started to get a little lightheaded, and I started to feel like, you know, this was something deep and something special and important. And again, I want to go back to the word connecting. I've never felt so connected to, you know, the elements and to spirit than at that moment in time yesterday. You know, we did our prayers and paid our respects. We offered gifts also, and we went out to the beach, and it was like paradise. You know, the sand was so fine, it was so white, the water was so clear. You know, you hear the birds in the air, the clouds had all of these formations, and I was just totally, I don't know, for lack of a better word, I was totally vibing. I was just like, wow, you know, I felt this like this buzz that I was like totally, truly alive and connected. It was, and this was at Alagoan. So that's what I know of Alagoan, is that it's a special place. You know, we have ancient remains from Saipan from way back when that's still there, and their spirit is still there, definitely. So I'm sure we could find, you know, how the people lived back then and you know, more information on the culture and their practices in textbooks or even with cultural practitioners and, you know, Pacific scholars. But for me, just being there it was the most enlightening, mind expanding, spirit expanding experience for me. Mm.
Having had that experience and your lifetime of work up until now promoting the culture, if you could go back to high school and have somebody ask you, what is a Chamorro? Where are you from? What answer would you give them now?
I don't think I'd want to go back to high school in the States, for one. I think I'd want to come here to Saipan and go to high school.
Okay. Fair enough.
But you know what? If I were to go back and they were to ask me, I would say that the Chamorros are a peaceful, loving people who were caught up in world powers, but who have still maintained their culture and their language and their sense of who they are. Mm. But, you know, I mean, in high school, I don't know if it would be understood, but
right.
I would say that, you know, being older and a little more wiser and a little more connected to who I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to chat more about how who you are has influenced your work after the break. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. We'll be back with more after this break.
Hafaday, Zantiro. I'm Leo Pangilinan with the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. We'd like to take a moment to thank our generous sponsors who have made possible the many programs in our community like this show. We couldn't have done it without them. And if you value the work we do, would like to make a contribution to our efforts, we ask that you consider making an in-kind or cash contribution to the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. Any amount is appreciated, and donations of up to $5,000 qualify for an educational tax credit. We appreciate your partnership and support. Sizus Maasi, Olomai, and thank you.
Welcome back. We're chatting today with Baltasar Ogun about his work in arts and his self-discovery journey as a Chamorro. Baltasar, we have here some of the work that you've created, but what made you decide to pursue a master's in fine arts?
Oh, I've always been creative. I've always been, I've always had this really wild imagination. I've always had, you know, propensity to pick up things and make it look nice. I just knew that it was something I wanted to go beyond a bachelor's, and I wanted to get into film, and I wanted to master screenwriting particularly. So I applied at the American Film Institute, and you know, it was just like, oh, let's just do this, let's just check it out, let's try, because I had absolutely no experience in film. And based off the writing sample, I was accepted, which was, you know,
congratulations.
I was like, again, elated. Yes. I'm like, yeah. But it's this desire to create through story, through the moving image, to take life experiences, life lessons, take history and culture, and to put it into a structured form that would be understandable to a wider population. Mm-hmm. So it's, I guess it starts with the spirit, then it comes with the mind on how can I make this feeling into something that everybody else can understand and enjoy. So I decided to go through to film.
And you've been very active in that. You're now the vice president or vice chairman of Pacific Islanders in Communication, correct?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
That. But one of the other things that you've done, if I understand correctly, is you're taking a lot of these Chamorro images, drawings from historical books, and shall we say contemporizing? Is that a word?
That's perfect, yes.
Bringing them to a contemporary audience in a contemporary way, an audience who may not necessarily open up a history book. What was the inspiration for this?
It's a way of sharing the image of the way life was back then in, you know, in Guam and the Marianas to people who may not open a book, like you said. And so I put them on cards, I put them on posters, I put them on cups. You know, I'm pretty sure if I think of more, I can probably put them on Zori. But
there's got to be a good image for a Zori. I'm not sure what it is yet.
T-shirts.
Yeah. How are these products being received?
Those who are culturally inclined, it goes very well. But a lot of the diaspora in the States who are on this quest also of you know, self-discovery and self-identity, it really radiates with them. So there's people out there who I know appreciate it, and people who I know would be touched by it. Mm. So it's not you know, not something to make money off, because many times I just give them away. But it's to share again our culture and the beauty of our culture and our people.
Mm-hmm. What do you find has been the impact of people who have received these? Or I'm not sure if you would know, but how far away have your things gone in the world? Europe or?
I don't know about Europe. I haven't heard of anyone from Europe yet.
Yet.
But just the stateside. Okay. Stateside.
And
I used to sell it through my shop when I was operating. And I haven't really gone online to sell it. So it really didn't have a global reach at this time.
Can you explain to us some of what you have in these prints here, and why did you choose these particular prints to reproduce and share?
Okay. This one is my favorite. This is the implements of the Chamorro people, what they were using at the time of Fray Zene, which was early 1800s. So it's a record really of what we produce and what we use and how we live. And it's, you know, it's really beautifully done. But this right here, this is turtle shell. And this was, it's called Guinahan Samoru.
What kind of tool is it?
Oh, no, this is not a tool. This is like a string. It's like a string. And with and there's like little discs of turtle shell.
Oh.
Very fine turtle shell.
Is it money?
It's money. Oh, it's okay. Many times it's presented to a person who saved a child's life, or for, you know, if another clan did something that really helped out another clan. This was one of the things that was presented, you know.
Oh, wow. So there's a lot of storytelling and history and knowledge in this single photo.
In this single photo, yes. Mm-hmm. So you can learn a lot about how the Chamorros lived during this time just by each implement. They were fine weavers. You know, look at the purse there. It's just super fine. Then you got the container. So you know that they were master weavers. They were the hats that they used to keep the sun off when they were working. That was really nicely, finely woven as well. You know, then you've got the kumzu up here. This is a different type of kumzu.
For grating coconut, yes.
Yes. Then you got the trove. You know, I never knew that this was how it was for the water for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually have a copy of this from Guampedia, and you just made it much more alive. Like, I knew what a few of those things were, but now you made me more curious about what actually everything is. Of course, this is House of Taga, I'm assuming. How about this village photo?
This is the village of Meleso in Guam, Maritso.
Oh, okay. Is that also from Freycinet?
No, this was done later. This was an 1890 print.
Mm-hmm.
I forget offhand who the artist and the printers were, but he also did one of U-matic. But this in particular is Meleso. I see how you can see how the houses were set up and how the people congregated. You know, maybe they're telling a story here, we're passing down history. Maybe there's some family things going on, you know. Mm-hmm. The mother telling the son to go and catch fish, or yeah.
But
you can create a whole story, like you said, just from one of these images.
What have you discovered about either your culture or yourself in making these quote unquote products? As you look at these items, has the process affected you at all?
You know, I think it's just really strengthened my love and confirmed my love for the Chamorros and the culture and the people. You know, every time I see I find a print that I've been looking for, you know, that's available, I'm like, besides myself, I'm buzzing again.
Yeah.
So it's this constant quest of reconnecting myself in the present with ancestors in the past. You know, there's always that bridge. Mm-hmm. There's always that bridge. Then hopefully I can, you know, make our ancestors proud as we move into the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been the image, certain images captured in certain time periods. It just tells so much. It tells so much of our people and how we lived.
I noticed you colorized some of these. Was that on our...
No, these were actually the antique prints. The original prints that I got of these ones were already aqua tinted.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so this one here, these are Filipino women in Agaña.
Mm.
So it's a German print. It's Tagalinen. I can't really pronounce it, but it's Tagalog women in Agaña, in Guam. And you know, from this image, we know that what type of materials were available at that time, how they sewed them, how they dressed.
Hmm. You used to have an antique shop in Guam. I'm curious, what are some of the more interesting things that came through your door, either coming in or going out because they were sold? What kind of cultural related items?
Well, we did sell a lot of contemporary traditional jewelry. That was
like
that
the Sanahi.
The spondylus. That was always very popular. But during FESPAC, we had a lot of, I was able to get a lot of other island arts and crafts from the, you know, the different islands. And there was, in particular from the Solomon Islands, there was a hare stick with red feathers, which was their traditional money, and a plume on the top. And it was just really, really so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the more interesting things to me that came in. But there were really cool stories. I mean, we're going to talk about connecting again.
Yes.
There was one Wednesday night market at Chamorro Village, and so many people coming in and out. There was this lady who had just come from the States to visit Guam. She hadn't been back in like 20 years. And she picked up a certain item and she said, "Hey, you know, this is my cousin. This is my cousin who did this." And lo and behold, that cousin walked in.
No way.
Yes, the cousin walked in and they were like, they connected. They were so happy to be together. So there were so many people stories that I really was grateful for and enjoyed. There was one with a carving. It was a storyboard that was done by Segundo Blas, one of the older Chamorro carvers. And his daughter-in-law came in and ended up buying it because they were looking for all of his things because he had recently passed away. Mm. So it was a point of connecting.
Connection. This is your word. Connecting. No, I feel the same thing at the Flame Tree Arts Festival. Equally to the selling, it's about the connecting. It's about the meeting up with people you haven't seen in a long time,
yes.
Hearing their stories, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What are you hoping for or planning in the future related to your work and your, I wouldn't say searching for yourself, maybe searching for yourself more deeply, searching deeper into yourself?
Well, one of the things I really want to accomplish in this lifetime is doing a film based on a short story that I wrote, which was The Two Lovers. I recreated The Two Lovers and set them in a time period of 1684, which was a time of chaos, and it was a time of war and transition between the Spaniards and the Chamorros. So there was a lot of room for this for a love story. You know, all this conflict, and within it, there's this really strong love story. So I wrote a short story, which was my writing sample to get into film school, and I wanna turn it into a movie. And by doing so, I would still be sharing a lot of myself and being from Guam and being Chamorro, and letting people know that with conflict all over, and being in the midst of conflict, there's always something beautiful, and it begins with us, you know.
Mm. So, I'm going to thank you for sharing today and wish you luck on that film.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
Is there anything else you'd like to say or offer before we go?
Yeah, I just, with this whole connecting with who I was, who I am through DNA, I didn't really need DNA to tell me who I was. You know, in my heart, I always knew that I'm Chamorro. I live being a Chamorro. I identify being a Chamorro. And, you know, that's what others should remember, too. We're beautiful people. We're resilient. You know, we take things and we make it our own. We help our culture evolve. But we don't need outside influence to tell us who we are. You know, we should always remain true to our core values, our Chamorro values, our Pacific Island values, and share it with other people. And at the same time, though, I think at this point in time, I think we really need to stand our ground when we need to. We really need to speak our mind when we need to. And we really need to carve our own place in a global world. So, you know, I hope that all the Chamorros, all the Pacific Island people, you know, Micronesians, I hope they become empowered with, you know, their sense of place, their sense of self, their sense of power, and that we can, in this global community, really show people that this is who we are, and you cannot take us away. Mm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sujusmasi.
Agumas.
Our guest today has been Baltasar Agun talking about connecting from his perspective as an artist and a Chamorro. This has been your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry.
Your Humanities Half Hour has been made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Democracy Demands Wisdom. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. For more information or to share your thoughts, contact the Northern Marianas Humanities Council at nmhcouncil.org or on social media at 670 Humanities, that's 670 Humanities.